Excellent, excellent. 25 minutes after 12, we're heading towards the news, but I want to talk to the children. This may actually take us past, and we'll come back and deal with it about the importance of that love and that attention, and also discipline. So it's starting with Takiri. Takiri, are you there?
Yes, please.
Yes. I want you to tell me about how your father shows you love. And do you feel loved?
My father gives me love. He comes and gives me a kiss. He gives me a hug. After I finish any shows I do, he comes and gives me a hug and say that I did very good. And even though sometimes he tells me other things I did wrong, he still tells me I could do it better. And
What, you sleep every night?
yes, gives me a
Mm-hmm.
kiss when I go to sleep, even though I don't be up.
That's very important. And how does that make you feel?
It makes me feel happy, and I feel really good that I have a father like this. And I love my father.
Whoa, whoa.
Well,
in 21st century Barbados, the challenges out there again in the role of counseling. This is something that comes up quite a bit in terms of being able to show love to your children, and particularly father to son, because in the perverse society, to be able to give your son a kiss sometimes is a problem. I can remember even my mother-in-law saying, "Why are you kissing your son like that? You want to turn grow to be funny?" So we do have those challenges out there, and we can see the impact, the power. Even listening to Kerry gives me goosebumps almost to hear how he talks about his father, and it just reminds me of that 1 in 5 rule that Mr. Commission spoke about. For every one time you have to chastise your children, take away from this conversation, find five good things, five positive things to talk about. Because we're so close to news, we're just going to read a couple of WhatsApps and then our WhatsApp or two and take us out. Let's read one. Good day, blessed Father's Day to you. I've been privileged to grow up with a dad who, even though we were poor, instilled the value of sharing and caring for your fellow man. Whatever you can do, do it with love. He encouraged me to get an education no matter how old I was, and he was there for all of my academic and professional achievements. I was privileged to also learn from him the value of hard work and giving your best always, even if others treated you badly. To say I miss him is an understatement. A truly gentle giant. May he continue to rest in peace. This is Brass Stack Sunday, a Father's Day special brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. When we come back, more.
Get all your lumber needs from us. We have number one treated pine, all different types of plywood, V-joint, siding board, and concrete board. In addition, we have grade 3 2x4s and form ply for boxing.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Welcome back to this Father's Day special brought to you the kind compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. I'm your host and moderator and producer, technical operator is Dennis Johnson. We go until 1:15. We are on the air with the fathers, and each of them has brought a son or daughter with them. Not necessarily the favorite, just one that happened to be available. So you have Ambassador David Commonshaw and his daughter Najuma. We have President Fabian Sargent and his son Takiri. And we have our friend of Barbados, he came. He's also an author. I need him to remind me the name of the book. Mr. Saber Nakuda and his daughter Salima. And they're with us here talking a bit about their fathers and fathering, the role of the father here on Brass Stacks Sunday. This one, there are lots of messages that came in, but I'll pull this one for Takiri. This one said, this one is for Takiri and the loving relationship with his father. Hearing him brought tears to my eyes. Before we went off to the news, we were talking to the children of the about the importance of love, spending time, and discipline. And we were speaking to Takiri. I actually want to move over now to Salima and answer similar questions in terms of how did your father show you love? How did he spend time and the discipline, and what it meant, and what it, does it mean to you?
Hi again. So I think being affectionate for me was the most important thing. I know, like you had mentioned earlier, you know, it's kind of this taboo thing where, you know, your dad is kissing their child, and it's like, oh my gosh, you don't, you know, they're going to grow up in a particular way. But I think a child knowing that they're loved makes them feel safe, makes them feel secure, and it's a comforting thing. As a human being, you need that in life. For me, I don't live at home. I visit my dad. I try to visit my dad when I can, when my schedule allows me to. So now that I am teaching online, I try to visit him every Friday, and we would have lunch every Friday. We have family lines. So as much as schedules are busy, times are aligning, we try to make that time, because I think having that solid foundation as a family unit, is what creates us and molds us into the kind of human beings we want to be. And anybody that knows me personally will know that I am very family oriented. He mentioned grandkids, so they are heavily, they need the time as well, you know, to know that, you know, because it's three nieces and a nephew, to know that they are loved. We have things to do, it's auntie's time, whatever the case may be. Growing up with my dad, yes, he was affectionate. He was not aggressive, but yes, discipline was definitely there. He mentioned the lotto ticket. Even that incident for me, it was not an aggressive, you know, yelling at me, making me embarrassed in public, that kind of thing. I think I was about 6 or 7, and for me it was just a lotto ticket. But you know, he didn't, you know, chastise me and scold me in public and these kinds of things that we see in our own society, which is unfortunate. But I think that his approach to that was like, okay, Salim, you know, this is wrong. It's against our religion. Gambling is wrong, whatever the case may be. And he made me stand over the garbage to tear it up. So I think that that for me was definitely a, you know, a foundation moment where it's like, okay, if I do this thing, I'm going to be penalized for it. But I think it was his approach that, you know, didn't make me, quote unquote, hate him or, you know, have this negative attitude towards him. So I think as a parent, as a father, it's important that you don't chastise or, you know, your tone and your approach, especially for younger kids. It's really important. Coming from a teaching perspective as well, you don't see many dads involved. It's always the mummies coming to the meetings or the mummies doing the baking or the mummies, you know, participating in these school activities. And I mean, it would be great to see more dads coming out, more dads supporting their kids, more dads coming to the sporting activities or movie nights or whatever these things may be. But, yeah, for me, it's more affection and the understanding that my dad is a safe space if I do something wrong. I can tell him, I can be comfortable enough to tell him I did this thing. I'm sorry, whatever the case may be. But he has that understanding. Yes, he may be yelling at me, but not yelling at me to make me to belittle me. But have that understanding that I am still a child. I don't know what right from wrong is. It's your job to tell me or help me figure it out, because I'm still learning from you.
Definitely, yeah. Definitely. So some parents listening can see you don't have to drive them through Bridgetown and burst the tail, as we will see, or yell at them, embarrass them. Sometimes the approach. He also taught you at the same time about not littering. So you notice he made you stand over the garbage. So that is important. Let's go over to Najuma and let's talk about this love, time, and discipline with you as well. How did your father show love and what did it mean to you?
I completely echo what Salima said. I actually was going to start with the same point about feeling as though there was always a safe space to come for advice or to admit shortcomings, and a constant knowledge that regardless of what I did or how bad it was, I would always belong, that I wouldn't be left out of the family unit, that I had a space to come home to. And I value that more and more as I get older, especially when I see other situations where persons may not have that that solid home space, an emotional home space and a physical home space where people just forgive. So I would say forgiveness and just feeling like your belonging is always there, is always guaranteed. That was a lot for me. And that also helped me feel love, not just for my father, but also with respect to love within the family unit. But another thing I wanted to mention, which we kind of touched on before, was just showing up in general is a loving task, because I can't remember any time having something to do where my father did not show up. So even if it was something small, he always found time to come, which is why I thought it was interesting that he said he wished he could do more, meaning show up more often for more things, because I felt like he was always there. I wasn't sure how he got it done, but whether that was a music event, even up to now, I'm part of a band. He had mentioned Khalid and Kayawe, now termed Aqua Tafare, but he comes to everything, and he always has input to help us make it better. Like, he's always invested in things that I've done, even with respect to my sister, who does dance and choreography. I think he would basically come as a choreographer, because they work together with respect to coming up with concepts, so much so that when she was in Jamaica doing school there, I think some people may have thought he lived in Jamaica because he would be at everything. So, and even with respect to sports, my first running partner was my father in primary school, and I talked about doing middle distance running. He was the person that I'd go on a run with on a Sunday. He'd run at my pace. You know, you feel pretty good, like you're keeping up, but really and truly, it was probably the other way around. Probably letting me keep up. So it's just those things, just showing up. Even if you're not physically participating, it helps, you know, with showing your love in that way.
And David, you still run. I swore I saw you running in Warren's just a few days ago.
Oh boy, don't embarrass me now. I've been lapsing.
Well, I saw you running with a little boy. And I was like, whoa, it looked like the little boy was trying to keep up, not you.
That would be my grandson.
See? So you're running with the children, now you're running with the grandchildren, man. Kudos, David. Kudos to you.
My wife has a son before we got married, mm-hmm. So my stepson. So he has a son who is now 12 years old. Yeah. So I'm a grandfather.
Yeah, man. You look pretty good. Am I not embarrassing? You're giving you kudos because he looked like he was trying to keep up with you. All right, let's go over to the telephone lines. There are some very interesting WhatsApps I want to get to, because I want to have enough time on the program for you guys to respond to them, because some of them are quite interesting. Just gone 12:45. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Hi, good afternoon.
A blessed Father's Day to each and everyone in the studio and to yourself. May all of you have lived for many, 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 many years. And God bless you. So it's so good. I'm enjoying your program. And a little joke. This father was boasting about his wife. He said his wife treats him like a god. So his friend said, "What? Tell me." He said, "My wife treats me like a god, because she gives me burnt offering."
Thank you very, very much. I always come on that particular caller to give me a little joke of the day. Very sharp, very pithy, very good. Thank you very much. I hope not many fathers out there are getting burnt offering today. I hope you're getting some nice pampering. We take another call and then they'll get to these WhatsApps. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yeah, happy Father's Day to all the fathers, especially Fabian. So, Bear, there's a question I want. Something you said. You said that when you came from India, you went to Wesley Hall School, and there were, then you were in a school near to you where there were white girls. So you had the best of Indians and white girls. Were there any black ones around?
I went to Wesley Hall School, and Wesley Hall School, it was both boys and girls. So,
and black girls?
Yes, Barbadian girls.
The good thing
was that I was the only Indian with pretty hair.
But I understand. I know how it is with pretty hair. I know how it is. I know the pretty hair. My father was a pretty hair man, too. But what I'm saying is, I found it strange that you said, you know, You didn't mention the black girls. Have a good day.
Mom, come on. Everybody was touching up the pretty hair. That's what we were doing in studio act. What's that? Let me get to these what's. Oh, man. A lot of people here are commenting that they actually enjoying the program. And this one says, I can vouch for what the Ambassador Commission said about his dad. He was a minister in the GM Street Spikestone Circuit. You cannot ask for a nicer minister. He practiced what he preached. His mother was also right up there. Kudos to them. This one says, I am a teacher and I see it daily. How would these fathers advise new parents on how to deal with the guilt of being a parent that is not well off in 2020? How do you explain to your kids that everything they see others with, they cannot have, and deal with being vilified by both the children at times and society as well? And I just, before you all answer, and the children can feel, and they call y'all children today, but the children of the fathers can feel free to answer as well, how y'all would deal with it and how y'all dealt with it. And there's a lot of comment on that on the chat on the WhatsApp in terms of saying, these fathers, how do y'all expect people in this day, they have to go and work and they have their own lives and to be able to raise, that's kind of like some of the discussions happening on the other side of this discourse. So I want y'all to bear that in mind in your answers and answer this person's question specifically. How would you deal and how do you deal with this?
If I may, Corey, because it is all a question of values. I will tell you, I'm an attorney at law. My wife is an attorney at law. But my children came up in a household where material things were not a priority. They wore hand-me-down clothes. We didn't spend any big set of money on clothes. Right through their primary school years, they had no fancy hairstyle. In fact, their hair was cut down, cropped to their heads, because it was easier to take care of. They could go swimming, comb out the hair. When they were infants, you read about the need to stimulate the children with different implements and toys and so forth. You buy one or two of these expensive toys and realize the child uses that toy for a day and mm-hmm. then discards it. And you realize, look, you could get the same stimulation for that child through using ordinary pots and pans and plastic containers and so forth. You know, when a child is an infant, the child needs to handle different items, experience the world around her, and develop their cognitive and intellectual skills and so forth. And people think that you need expensive educational toys. And you quickly realize that those expensive educational toys are a waste of time. Ordinary implements around the house, you can substitute, and in fact, they're much better. And then a point I was making, Corey, at the outset, and I don't know if it has sunk in yet. In Barbados, we have a society that has built into it multiple opportunities for the development of our children. You have all kinds of programs and camps, and our children made full use of all of this. Whether it's the National Sports Council summer camp, or the NCF, or NIFCA, the Barbados Public Library. You name it. So I, the point I'm making is, and let me say this as well, let me get this in, there was deliberately no computer in our house until these children went to secondary school. In other words, this idea about children sitting behind little children, infants, or primary school children sitting behind a computer screen and all the rest of it, no. It was about reading books. It was about taking part in sports. It was about doing an art and so forth.
I actually want to underscore.
So the point I'm making is that you don't. Yes, of course, people need money, and I'm not minimizing any financial difficulties that anyone may have, but I'm saying there are also inexpensive ways of getting things done, of raising your children, of getting them exposed to different developmental activities in Barbados. So we should not overlook that. And if when you use those programs that exist in Barbados, you find that you are raising a child, a person, who is a son or daughter of the nation, a child of the community, and you're giving them roots and orientation that is very important.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I really want to support David on this one. I have my children, Corey. My children don't know them with brand name. Believe it, my son, he probably got a few brand. He probably got, I don't know if they call it brand name, but he got shoes. You understand? He has a pants, he has shirts. And my son does not know anything. My son did know nothing about brand name.
But what about when they go to school? Because the person asks about being vilified. They go to school and I see it all the time. I see it in the videos. I see it among the children they work with. What's that you got off you for? You know what I'm saying? Because you don't go on latest. How do your children deal with that?
That is something that my son does not experience where he goes to school. But I know about it because growing up, that is something that you know, you see happening. And it boils down to values. So you have to teach children that, you know, it's not everything you see. You may see somebody with a beard, $300 or $400 shoes, and you don't have to teach them from somebody. You don't have to borrow the neighbor's shoes to look good. You do not know where they're getting things from. And these are old school values that we need to teach children. We need to understand that life is not only about materialistic things. I mean, if you spend a lot more time developing what we consider the soft skills, you know, or building the self-esteem, confidence, you know, and making children a lot more aware of who they are as individuals, okay, then we are going to have stronger children who can deal with the issues in life.
I can't all miss right, this opportunity. Let me cut in here again, because I want to do it when Mr. David was talking. I have found working with a very wide cross-section of young people, right? The ones that have that self-esteem and self-confidence are less interested in brand name. The rest use the brand name kind of to fill the void and to kind of exalt themselves into what their feel self-confidence and self-worth is about. And I can say that categorically. So I just want to, because you're touching on the same thing when David was saying it. So I just had to cut in there with that. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. No, I was pretty much finished. You know, we just have to, we have to really look at those soft skills and teach these basic values in life. Because then remember, your children that you're raising, they are going to grow into adolescence and then adults. And these are skills that they are going to need. Because, you, I mean, when you turn an adult and you see somebody driving boat, let's say a BMW car, and you catch him bus, you know, and you're thinking, you know, I got to do this, so you're going to vote. You're going to do some of anything, good or bad, to achieve these things. No, you want to maintain your value system. You want to be true to yourself. And you want to live your life for you and not based on what you see somebody else doing out there. You know, and once you can get children thinking that way, once you can groom them in that capacity, I am telling you, they will grow up to be very good citizens. And they're not, I mean, materialistic things will not really matter that much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sabir.
Yeah.
Or no, think, sorry. You know, someone else jumping in. Right. Anybody?
You bring up your children. For me, value system is very, very important.
So all three of y'all are saying it starts at the beginning. The values, yeah. Okay. You can't wait until they get into primary or secondary school and getting teased to try to deal with it. Okay, go ahead.
Depends on us as parents. For me, value system is very, very important. And I always educate and tell my children, don't look at those who have been given more. Look at those who have been given less. And so, Edmund, even in my home, we have a system where every child, in fact, my son, my daughters, we have what you call lilla boxes, a charity box, a little tin, where when they come from school, I know my kids, when they used to come from school and 50 cents left back or 25 cents, then they would put it in that little charity box. So at the end of it, we will then later on give it to those who are in need. In other words, you inculcate that attitude that whatever God has given you, be thankful for and praise Him and thank Him for giving it to you. So therefore, prayer is very, very important within the household. Very important. You must teach your children to know God, who He is, and teach them about, you know, learning to give to those who are less fortunate. You can start with a thing like what I am telling you, that what we do in our homes, and then they will grow to learn to give to people who are less fortunate. Teach them to learn to love animals and birds. Mm-hmm. You know, don't give them toys with guns and so on, you know. So these are certain value systems, educating them about who God is. Let them get to know who He is. Let them get to know their families. I think that family, extended family, is very, very important. And you yourself, live a life of moderation. I think we need to live our life of moderation. Even those who have money, who have wealth, I think they need to live their life in moderation.
Okay. Right.
I just wanted to add to that. I agree with what everyone has said already with respect to confidence being a big key, a key factor into how persons will view money and status through symbols. But I also wanted to add, similar to what was said already, that the value system of the parent is usually mirrored in the child. So, for example, if you have a parent who's very confident about what they have, as little as it may be, the child will usually mirror that as well. So, for example, my father always says, from as long as I can remember, he'd say, I'm the best dressed person in Barbados. And I remember challenging him. I said, well, you're not wearing any brand name. What do you think you're the best dressed? You're wearing some sandals. And, I mean, they're okay, but they're just regular sandals and the same old slats. But his viewpoint of what he wore was that by virtue of it not being a brand, and him not wearing what everybody else is wearing, mm-hmm. that his own style was a beautiful style, and mm-hmm. he was confident about wearing that. And then even with respect to valuing brands, with respect to bags and that kind of stuff, I remember always thinking how proud I was that this bag was actually pretty cheap, and you can't even tell that any particular company made it. Mm-hmm. And I was happy that it didn't stand out, and it was so affordable as compared to it must stand out so that people know how much I spent.
For me, the standout part, right, is actually what it, because when you wear something different that's not brand in these days, almost you stand out, because everybody else thing is they're buying the same North Face or Hanshell to fit in. So I never wanted to fit in. I say I want to stand out. So then you become special by not wearing brand. So I actually see it look slightly different. All right, let me do this quickly. This one says, this may surprise some people, but it is only financially challenged children, parents, or parents who are in the brand name. My son attended only private school pre and post-secondary and never knew about brand names. So I think that goes along with what Fabian was saying earlier. Let's take some calls quickly as we head towards the end of the program. I say it's 1 o'clock in Barbados and across the Eastern Caribbean, and we say good afternoon to the next caller. You're on the air.
Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey. Hey, thank you for, you know, having this rapport with fathers and so on. But have y'all considered having a dad? I tune in late, so I don't know if one of dad that didn't have a dad that plays it true and raised his children. So he can be an example to those who don't have a dad.
We actually read a WhatsApp on that, and we actually did a number of programs like that. Maybe we had Fathers for Justice and all these different things. We were talking about all these things. We wanted to take today out, especially just to honor dads. I don't want to use Father's Day. I mean, we can draw inspiration from that, but I wanted to do just particularly what we did today. But thanks for the suggestion. Let's take another call quickly. Good afternoon and welcome. Happy Father's Day. You're on the air.
Happy Father's Day. Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right. Samir, from information coming from Cambridge University, Prince Charles University, your father, your uncle, even you, also have the actions and the words of the prophet on how to raise children. That is a fact.
All right, thank you very much for that. Bit echoey, but we understand what it is you are trying to say, so we appreciate that. I want to take this opportunity to make sure that I would have covered all of this. I just want to take a couple of messages here, and then I want to let the children just say a special day to fathers out there and a special word to your father as we close today's program. So I start by reading a few WhatsApps here. Didn't get to. This one says, good afternoon. Fatherhood is not only biological. Happy Father Day to all the psychological fathers who contribute positively to children island way and the mothers playing a dual role. This one says, I was one who felt I had all the time in the world to achieve my studies, my goals, and just as I settled into what I wanted to do, my dad became ill and dependent on me. I gave up all my studies to take care of him and would do it all over again. He was an exceptional father. My advice to children is to plan your life, and when doing so, include your parents when they will need you. And when they need your love and devotion and care, it must be reciprocated. Okay. Happy Father's Day to all fathers in Barbados and beyond. It is imperative that all fathers should be appropriately recognized and honored on this special day. And this is coming from Mr. Mark Haynes. And this one here says, oh, this one just in. This one says, good day. I'm not sure I ever heard my daddy say, I love you. However, I never had any doubt that he loved me and my siblings. He was always there for us. Whatever school event, providing for the household, taking us to school, social events, even church events, although he didn't go to church when we were little. He was a businessman and he spent his last $20 on lessons for me one day, and later on I discovered that. That is love. I felt safe with him when we were driving out in the countryside. Once daddy was there, I felt good. When I turned 40, he said, I never lash you, I better lash you now. We had a good laugh. It was a sad day when he passed. Less than 12 months, he didn't get to see me reach 41. I miss my daddy. There are so many things I miss, which would have made him so happy and proud. That he would have missed, that would have made him so happy and proud. Mommy is now witnessing everything, and I see the sparkle in her eye when I say daddy would be proud. Okay, so Daz, let me get a final word from you, and then I want to hear from each of the children just saying a special day to a special word to fathers, then a special word to your father. So anyone can go first.
Let me just, because I think I need to just deal with this, the issue of race and identity and racial pride. My daughter Najuma, who is on the line, has very thick nappy hair. And I have always taught my children, both me and my wife, who is an African woman from Ghana in West Africa, that their hair is indeed and in fact pretty hair. And so our children have come up with this notion of Africa being the center of the world, of black being beautiful. I made it a point of duty that my children, no one could give my children white dollies, European dollies and that kind of thing for Christmas or for birthdays and so forth. So pride in self, pride in their race, their ethnicity, their ancestral culture, very, very strong. Very, very strong in our household. So I know what Sabia is speaking about, because I know Barbadians had this thing about pretty hair being curly hair, you know, and that kind of thing. But I don't think we should end this program without saying that the parent, the father of a black or African child, has to be make it a point of duty to nurture that child in a deep appreciation of themselves, of their people, of their history, of their heritage. That would be my final word.
Excellent.
Yeah. I would want to end by encouraging fathers to continue to love your children. Your children are part of you. The environment that you create for them will definitely influence who they become. And you know, we really, really need to have strong individuals. And we as men, we need to set that example for our children especially our young boys, because boys definitely look to their fathers for that example. So love your children unconditionally and be there for them.
Thank you.
I agree 100% with Mr. Commissioner. It has to do with here. I was speaking more in the context of me being the first East Indian with straight hair at Wesley Hall School. But, you know, that does not matter in these days anyway. I believe that we parents and we fathers, we are not angels. But we must do everything in our power to do whatever we can to bring up and to take care of and to guard and to look after our children, although they may have their own children too. And I think that will be our responsibility until we pass to the great beyond.
All right. All right. Salima, let's start with you.
I just want to wish all the dads a happy Father's Day. I enjoyed the program. Thank you for having me. And I think it's just important for a dad, a young dad, an old dad, just to be themselves, whether, you know, you're out in public. Just be you with your kid. Why be concerned with what people think about you hugging your kid or you playing tag with your kid or swinging on a swing or, you know, just be you and know that that time is definitely being treasured by your children.
Nice. And any words for your final words to your dad?
To my dad, thank you for raising me the way you did. It's made me a stronger person. It's made me an independent person. He is definitely has a big imprint on who I am, but he knows that, and, you know, we have our bickers and we have our moments, but he definitely knows what he's doing. But, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day. No problem.
All right. Najuba, let's hear from you.
Hi. I wanted to read a poem that I wrote about 6 or 7 years ago when I was at university. It was a time when we were in two separate places, and I wanted to extend a Father's Day greeting. So this goes out to my father and every other father in Barbados.
Nice.
And the poem goes, though the promises of tomorrow's never for granted are they, and the sunshine of the morning lasts only the day, though the fight to the end takes until the battle is won, and peace survives only until upheavals again storm, though ebony eyes sparkle in times of great joy but are sullen and red as hard times enjoin, and though sometimes that of heart defies the sense of mind, and effects once desired on occasion change with time, what shines in the midst of such dire and opposite truth, consistent as forever and perfectly brewed, is the love laid gently by the warm heart of a dad that envelopes and protects you, assuaging the bad. Spirit within him honorable and inexhaustibly bright, his dance of creation sacred, striving always for the right. And I hope one day to give as dad has and without repay ask, the ancient and simple love unfiltered intact. Across currents to the east and along where southern winds blow, my love and gratitude journey towards my dad at home. Thank you for your encouragement and thank you for your guide. May you be eternally joyful, particularly on this day assigned. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you very, very much for sharing that with us. Thank you very much. It means a lot, definitely. Takiri, are you there?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Just a word to the fathers out there and a final word to your dad for this program.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And just stay with your kids and make sure that you're with your kids. And don't make your kids think that you're their enemy, and happy Father's Day.
Words of wisdom from the out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Thank you very much, Takiri. I want to take this opportunity to sincerely, from the depths of my heart, from the bottom of my heart, to thank each and every one of you, Mr. David Comanshaw, Mr. Fabian Sargent, Mr. Sabir Nakuda, Salima, Takiri, Najuma. I had to call each of you. For taking this time out to share with the public. Many persons online, they're saying happy Father's Day to you. They really enjoyed the program. So on behalf of all of them, on behalf of all of us, we want to say thank you very much and do enjoy the rest of this Father's Day. Justin, yes, please,
thank
go ahead.
Corey.
Yeah, just before we close off, I want to remind everybody about the virtual experience show this evening for 4:30, Men's Empowerment Network Support. That is our Facebook page. Once you go there, you'll find the link to the show. We have Blood and Richard Stout and a whole, even Takiri will be performing, a whole set of artists. And this is dedicated to all the fathers out there. So we want everybody to log on and just come and let us have a virtual experience and enjoy the afternoon on this great Father's Day.
All right, I want to encourage people to go and check that out and make sure you make the best of this Father's Day. In recapping, I want y'all to make sure parenting is seen as the single most important project to lavish love and show that attention and build the self-esteem. Remember the 1 in 5 rule. Also, the whole idea of playing your role as a father, building that self-confidence. In terms of clearing the fog at times and making sure you teach them to work hard and be assertive. Those are some of the main points I took from this program. I don't know what you did, but I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, and do enjoy the rest of your Father's Day, brought to you with the kind compliments of Williams Industries.